several muhaddithin after doing their work for the ease and the convenience of people, they summarize the work. Imam Bukhari sahab, from a treasure of 600,000, he collected some 6,000 to 7,000 hadiths for his Al-Jami' al-Sahih. Imam Abu Dawud sahab, for his work, from a collection of 500,000, he chose 4 hadiths. And the imams of fiqh, they're also imams of hadith. For to be a mujtahid, we need to know at least approximately 200,000 hadith. Matanan wa sanadan. So, he was a great muhaddith. But then, a person is generally known by the type of work that he is mostly engaged in. If an alim, but he is engaged mostly in fatwa, fatawa, etc. So he may be a muhaddith, he may be an alim, he may be a sufi, but because he is well recognized in the field of fatwa, they call him a mufti. He is well recognized in tasawuf, they call him a sufi. He may be an alim also. But the type of work that he is generally engaged in, then this is how they would title him. So it would seem that the first person to start off summarizing was Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Because he summarized it in 5 hadiths. And from the 5 hadiths that he summarized, Imam Abu Dawud summarized it in 4 hadiths, but approximately the same hadith. So that means if it's 4 hadiths, then each hadith is equivalent to quarter of your deen, 25%. So just a summary. One is your niyat, so quarter of the hadith of your deen. Number 2 is halal and haram and doubtful areas. So that's another quarter. So the first one will get you right in your taqwa. The second one will get you right in your dealings. Right? Halal, haram, and doubtful. And the third is correct time management that will give you the value of life. Right? If you appreciate time, you value your life. And the fourth is not to hurt any believer. When Salim al Muslimun or Ayyuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibba li nafsi. Ma yuhibba li nafsi. Imam Abu Hanifa has counted both separately, and thereafter Imam Abu Dawud has counted just one. Ma yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibba li nafsi. So as though each one represents one quarter of your deen. Now, for the common person, it is difficult for him to go through all the ahadith and then to see that I am perfecting it or not. But if he concentrates on these 4 pointers, then inshallah he's on track. So it's easy if they simplified it so that we concentrate on these 4 pointers. So the first one that he's spoken about is niyat, ikhlas. So you will see that many of these great luminaries, when they start off the kitab, they start off with niyat. Get your niyat right. Tabligh Jamaat also get your niyat right. So they understand how dynamic this niyat is. And then the essence of ikhlas is to be truthful and to be honest. That's the essence of ikhlas, absolutely truthful and absolutely honest. On the day of Qiyamah also Allah will say, قَالَ فَالْحَقُّ وَالْحَقَّ الْأَقُولُ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَلْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ يَجْمَعُونَ. And he'll also say, يَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. What will have today is your level of truth. How honest and how truthful were you. Right? It's not how much you have brought, but how truthful you are. يَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ. So what's going to help is your truth. So this aspect of truth, truth is such that very seldom Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would deliver a khutbah where he wouldn't speak about la imana liman la amanata lahum wa la deena liman la ahda lahum. You don't have the aspect of honesty, again truth. You're not honest, you have no iman. And wala deena liman la ahda lahu, and you can't keep up to your word, simple translation, can't keep up to your word, then really you've got no deen. So the deen revolves around this truth. How truthful, how honest, how sincere you are. That's how the whole deen revolves. Sometimes a person makes a mistake in his judgment, but overall he is truthful and honest. Allah Ta'ala blesses him. Right. The man who asked his children to burn him to ashes, and then because of his truth, the work he's done was wrong. He didn't know about it. He didn't know about that, that to burn the corpse was wrong. But the catalyst was right. The catalyst was the truth. The catalyst was the sincerity. The catalyst was the fear of Allah Ta'ala. For the fear of Allah Ta'ala, he did whatever he did. And Allah Ta'ala forgave him. So sometimes the workings may be wrong, right? But what's prompting it, the catalyst is right. And on account of the catalyst being right, Allah Ta'ala overlooks the person. So how important is this aspect, this element of truth? You hear the famous story of Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi. He's lost his father at his young age, 6-7 years perhaps. And thereafter his mother took care of him. Passion for knowledge. And from Jilan he travelled to Baghdad. And the mother sealed up 40 dinars somewhere around his waist and gave him a parting advice that don't ever speak a lie. Always keep to the truth. Roads at that time, quite dangerous even now, dangerous hijacking, robbing, killing. Right? But in spite of all that, the mother says, don't ever speak a lie. Speak the truth. Young boy, traveling now with a whole entourage of a caravan, en route attacked by robbers, and they ask him, have you got anything? Yes. How much? 40 dinars. They take him to the leader of the whole gang. Let's see this child here. What's up? What's wrong with this child? And then he says, no, I haven't got it. Not speaking a lie, no. So they opened up and they found that 40 dinars. But what prompted you to speak the truth? My mother's advice. Again, the truth. Now this element of truth, this honesty element, this is the thing that stands out in Islam. And if any person applies it, Muslim, non-Muslim, he'll see the good in it. Why? Because of his honesty and his truth. Good character, honesty, and his truth, he will see the fruit of it, in spite of him being a kafir. Right? But he's honest, he's truthful, and he's got good values. Right? And because of it, so as though Allah Pak has not manipulated only for the Muslim. You apply it, you will see the good. The difference will be that the kafir will see the good of it only in this world. He won't see it thereafter. So you look at this Woolworths, right? So many times I just quote it as an example. Taqriban lil faham, right? For you to understand. So what's the reason for the prosperity? So you'll see these three elements. That one is they give a quality. Number two, they'll give a service. And number three, they've got good values, right? So like, if you go to other stores, like you're looking for an article, right? For example, you're looking for bread or milk, right? So you'll ask one of the people that are working there, I want some good bread. So I go there, take a turn here and you'll find it. Now compare the service with these people. And if he hears that you want the bread, he'll accompany you right to the bread and says, which bread would you like? This is this bread here. This is the good in this bread, that is the good in that bread. And now what happens to the customer? So he sees the honesty, he sees the service, he sees the quality, and he sees the values. You know, he may have not wanted to buy it, but when he saw the value, so honesty and right values. And the world now is starving for this. Whether it is our contracts, awfu bil uqood, our word that you give to someone, or the element of honesty and truth. These are the two things that the world is starving. It's right at the point of starvation. Because the thing that is most well thought of is two things today. One is a little bit of recognition, and one is material. So what we are looking for is recognition, right? And the second thing we're looking for is material. Got the recognition, you're going. So this is applicable across the board. We want that recognition, people must talk about us. So the mind has gone into that, or has gone into some type of material value. So if there's a material value, we're going for it. No material value, then we just leave it out. If you want to talk about a person, then we talk about the person that's got some materialistic recognition. So and so, and so and so, and so and so. But a person that is downtrodden, then we don't talk about him. So if it was in the day of the Sahaba, for example, they would have spoken about Usman al-Ghani, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, material. And they wouldn't have spoken about Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu. But in all the Islamic history, we understand that Hazrat Bilal was more popular than Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. He was great, all great, and we can't undermine them. Rahman ibn Auf is Ashram Bashar, right? But the one that was most outstanding and popular was Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu. See? So in that day it was about your honesty and your recognition of the truth, simplicity, humility, that values were taken into consideration in that day. Right. And when you look at the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he wants us to go back, to revert. Go for this. Don't go for these other things. Recognition and popularity. Right. That is why the verse comes, مَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ تُقَرِّبُكُمْ عِنْدَنَا زُلْفَى. It's not your wealth and not your children. Children can also mean your popularity, your following. In that day it was your children that would carry your name. So now it's your popularity and your following. So these two things man is after, material and popularity recognition. So that is now the main point that people look towards. When we look at our pious of the past, their whole outlook was different. They just want to escape from popularity and recognition. The famous story of Brother Sheikh ul-Hind, when he's called by his star student, Al-Mu'at Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, and he delivered a talk in Kanpur. And for some reason, there was a need for him to connect into logic. Once he started that, what's A? Now he's the right ten. He's amongst the audience. So see, these Kanpur people, they think that we don't know anything about logic and reasoning. And more I struck it, he's felt the pulse, he knows it right. And just that thought passed the mind, and Moa abruptly stopped the talk. Now Moa said, even, what a point to stop the talk. The heat would have just mowed the entire crowd. And there, at the heat of the moment, he just stopped it. So he says thereafter, mere zehen mein bhi is kisam ka kuch khyal aaya. I also had that same thought, that type of thought. Phir socha ki phir iska fayda kya hoga? What will be the benefit after that? See? When that thought came to my mind that I'm going to impress, then what will be the point of delivering this talk thereafter? Understand, is the level of sincerity and honesty that brings about the effect. Otherwise, in the short term, people may be impressed. You know, short term, impressed, they talk about it. And after a few days, everything is gone. So some things are like that. For a short term, people speak about it. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. People will speak about it. And the whole thing thereafter collapses. And there are some things that goes very gradually, very, very gradually. It's not spoken about much, but then the life is very great. It carries on and on and on. Now you look at the kitabs of our elders, best is ever read. A lot of people are against it. A lot of people, they burned the kitab and they tore the kitab and they did a lot of ridiculous things. But now, it's the beauty of every library. It's the beauty of every shelf, right? It's the beauty of every home. They must have it. Somebody's Urdu speaking or can understand Urdu. Otherwise, the translation. You must have it. Doesn't happen. And Moa has passed on 1942 or 43 somewhere. So approximately 8 years. And 8 years after he's passed on, that means the book was being enjoyed and read in his lifetime. So you can count easily over a century the kitab is running. That's his sincerity, his truth. And then again he says, this is not my work, this is the work of my student. He asked me to check through it and to write it as my kitab. So he's so truthful, saying that this is not my kitab, Muhammad Ishaq, I can't remember the surname, but Muhammad Ishaq, that was the student that prepared it, and I seen through the work. So that was the level of sincerity. Then again, another level of sincerity was that of Ulama Yahya Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he passed away in serious deaths, all deaths, Sheikh's father Rahmatullahi. So when he saw the kitab, right, he used to be joking, everything with Ulama Thami Rahmatullahi would say sometimes, Jahilo ka Sheikh hai. Kere jaha dekha, to bazaaron mein se ek, idhar se, unke aakar se mil ke, idhar se aage. But he saw the good in the kitab. When he saw the good in the kitab, then he bought thousands of other copies. Thousands. And then, many places he just gave it free of charge. Many places half the price. Many places just the cost. And he let that kitab flourish. So on one side, it was that Mullah Muhammad Ishaq and his work and sincerity. Then he's supported by the Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi, his sincerity. And then it's the sincerity of Muhammad Yahya Sahib that allowed the kitab to flourish everywhere. Madrasas, homes, shops, everywhere, every person carries the kitab. But what it was, so it's over 100 years and it's running. So the thing that causes it to run is the sincerity. Same with Fazail Kitabs and the sincerity. And by that working, I'm saying, here also you can see almost a century it's running. That is running, and running more than before. As though it's like oud, you know. The oud, the odor, and the price just picks up. The price picks up with age. So So their kitabs are like, oh, let's move on, let's fix up. So that element of sincerity, that is the thing to work upon. Honesty, truth. Our ulama was such, Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, honesty, truth, etc. Simplicity, honest, sincere. He's teaching a kitab, and in the madrasa you have it, the students will fire up questions, right? Sometimes they try to test you out also. Okay, you're doing your work and delivering, or you're just coming here without any preparation. So, their students are very, very, very intelligent geniuses. And I will teach them. Now, in the whole class, someone is asking a question. Or I will look. I haven't understood the. Let me go and find out. So, I come back to the class. I went to this Molana. And that student, that Molana is his student. I went to him. And he gave me the explanation. And I feel that explanation is right. If it was one of us, I had a rethink, I just went out, had a rethink, and got it right. Sometimes, he's delivering the talk, he's giving that lesson, and when he's giving that lesson, so one student says, I think the masala is like this. One will think, no, what you're saying is right. What you're saying is right. I stumbled. Right. And then, at intervals, say, no, you're right, what you're saying is right, I stumbled, I shouldn't have said this, this is the right thing. Now you see that level of sincerity. Well, Mahatma Samana says, my knowledge, I wrote 1,000 kitabs, so my knowledge is subjected to 3 personalities, Yaqub Sahib, or Gangohi Sahib, and Hadi Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. See that? So that sincerity really took his kitabs. He got what he got, and he's recognized these people, but he's honest, he's truthful, there's no mixing up words, not wanting credit, but wanting acceptance. See, Allah Pak must recognize it, and if Allah Pak recognizes it, then what else can we ask for? Otherwise, immediately we get some satisfaction. Now they call something, you know, on the computer, you got so much, what do they call it? Hikes, what? So many people, huh? Likes. So many likes. He got 1,000 likes, 10,000 likes. But you see, they go, okay, Allah Pak like karte yani. So many people liked it, right? But does Allah Ta'ala like it? In the time of Didat, right, there was one evangelist, televangelist. I can't remember his name now. Swagat. So he had a couple of millions of followers. Not 1,000, millions, like the best of the televangelists. So one is evangelist and the other televangelist. So that's easy to understand it. It's a Christian Tablighi Jamaat. What? It's Christian Tablighi Jamaat evangelist. So they go door to door, on the street, in the house, going. But the televangelist, he will do the same tabligh work on the screen. Right? The whole thing is about how popular you can be. So that when you go into that popularity, then you want to tailor it as your crowd wants it. One is how Allah wants it, and the other is how the crowd wants it. So your main concern is, my public now, I mustn't lose my support. I got them now, and I must be able to maneuver them, I must be able to manipulate them. But to be able to maneuver them, they need to like your breed. So at all times you can know, what would they like? What would they enjoy? How must I say it? Right? And we are saying, قُولَ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا بَلِيًا. Say something good that will touch the recess of the heart. So one is, it touches your emotions, your enthusiasm, right? Josh. And one is, it doesn't touch your emotions, but it touches the very recess of the heart. So your heart is saying, is tari kanatha anfusum. So it's right. Jo keh rahe sahi hai. Lekin kya kare, What should we do about the whole thing? Akhnas ibn Shuraik, he asked Abu Jahl, is what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, is it the truth? See, he got him in secluded and asking what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, is it the truth? Because what happened was for a long time, this Akhnas bin Shuraik, Abu Sufyan, then Abu Jahl, they would take their spots after Isha to listen to the Quran Sharif right till the morning. Very concealed. But by the early morning, one would spot the other. Say, what were you doing here? And what were you doing there? So by the morning they caught out, but the night they listened to the Quran. Now the Quran Sharif was so captivating, the true word of Allah Ta'ala, they couldn't resist but to listen to it. Tears are flowing, but then was jahadu biha, went on to denial. So Ashraf ibn Shuraik is asking Abu Jahl, but is this the truth? So Abu Jahl says, hey, no doubt this is the truth. Then why are you in denial? He says, you see, this family of the Banu Hashim, right? That's Sula Sanfar. They are the flag bearers of the nation. They are the custodians of the Kaaba Sharif. They provide for the Hajis and all that, water, etc. They provide. Right? So, then what will be left for the rest of the Quraysh? So they took all the name. They took the name of the flag bearers of the Haram Sharif. They are the custodians. They take care. They take care of the Hajis. So what's left for the rest? So nothing left for us. Now, an individual in his family has claimed that he's receiving divine revelation. And this, we can't challenge it, because it's divine. Now, you know, all the facts are there. Can you see that? Now, he's talking in seclusion. In seclusion, he says, all the facts are there. But now, if we're going to accept him, then what's going to be left of us? So was taqalatha and presume. So they knew it was the truth. They went in doubt, they knew it was the truth. But then, when Allah Pak seals off the heart because of your constant denial, then what happens? So, Abu Jahl, look at his end, right? So, his end, he's incapacitated, right? So, Ibn Mas'ud goes to chop off his head. So, it's not working out. So, Abu Jahl offers him his sword, he's taking it, and Abu Jahl is saying, see, when you chop off my head, and don't chop it off from the top, chop it off from the bottom. Because all the heads will be chopped off and lined, right? As trophies for people to view. And my head will stand out. Right? My head will stand out, right? And convey this message to your Nabi, that my hatred for him now is far greater than what it was. Now you compare him against Fir'aun in his last, he says, La ilaha illa alladhi amanat bi banu Israel wa ana min al muslimin. He is confessing now. Though he is not dispatched to Jahannam, but that words were words of humility. And this words were words of pride, arrogance, and full denial. Right? So therefore, the hadith says that he is the Fir'aun of this ummah. In fact, he is worse than the Fir'aun. Because that Fir'aun, at least he relented, he came down. This one, yeah, he didn't even, at that moment, crucial moment, he can see he's totally incapacitated. But there too, he still wants to show recognition, see, pride. When the pride comes in, then that blocks the whole thing, your understanding is gone. And it's such a serious thing, that your understanding will go away. See, you want recognition, what happens? Your understanding goes away. سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. So the true understanding of the Quran and the Hadith will be turned away. So you'll be giving a good talk, you'll be impressed. But يَتَكَبَّرُونَ, as you've got that attitude, recognition, and you want people to recognize you, then we'll move away the understanding. So you'll appeal to that wrong class of people. You'll appeal, but to the right class or to the wrong class. See, al-khabisatu lil-khabisin, wal-khabisuna lil-khabisat. والطيبات للطيبين. So pure people for pure, right? الجنس يميل إلى الجنس. كبوتر با كبوتر باز با باز. English translation, birds of a feather flock together. And it's so true, here also it happens, and there it also happens. See, Allah joins. نولي بعد الظالمين بعدا. نولي بعد الظالمين بعدا. For your ease, I translated it, that the wrong people, will join them together. نولي بعد الظالمين بعدا. بما كانوا يكسبون. So, all the LGs will be one side. The whole West, can you see that? Whether it's Britain, France, America, Canada, all the LGs, see that? Will join them. Can you see that? Al-Khabisat, the filth for filth. Wa-Tayyibat li-Tayyibin, and very few out of Afghanistan. So that's absolute pure. Compared to the entire world, it's got the greatest element of truth. But they've been ostracized, boycotted in the business, just because of them standing up for the truth. So that means the world has got very little truth. لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ. Can you see that? Look at the word again. لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ. Again, truth. لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ. فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Can you see that? أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ. أكثر. See that? إِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّوكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So, I don't worry about the majority and minority. Look at the verse. كَمْ مِنْ فِيَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِيَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And the catalyst must be وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Remain steadfast on the truth, on the true values. Remain like that. One alim is giving a talk in the haram. So, the truth was standing out in ulama so much, right? So much. He's giving a talk in the precincts of the haram. And just as the talk ended, one Indian alim went up to the sheikh that was delivering the talk. Sheikh, you said this, but in this kitab it shows something else. It's not right. So he thought for a moment and he found it to be a right correction. Now it's a haram. After the talk, people were dispersed when they go for talk. They said, hey, all of you come back. Shouted, all of you come back. So, the consciousness of akhirat, qiyamah, death may come, and I haven't corrected the situation. All of you come back. See, I mentioned this to you, and this was incorrect. And this Indian alim here, he corrected me. And what he's saying is right, so I'm retracting. If it was one of us, will come after 2-3 days, you know, I had a rethink. I think there's another view, you know. There's another view also. There's another call in Sufi. But how we'll mince our words and how we'll play around, as though the truth is totally obliterated. The truth, haq, has become absolutely obliterated. So what comes in the forefront is our name. We, me, I. So where's the truth then? Where's it gone? So you see this truth and how it stands. One doctor is explaining. Now he's a senior, very senior person. He's, but I'm showing you the truth and honesty and how it stands out. He says, my instructor was also a very great doctor. I'm not mentioning the names. Very, very great. And it was my routine that after I did my rounds in the hospital, then him being my senior, I would greet him and then leave. Now you see, at every step you're looking at values. And this doctor that is talking, not very old, he must be about 73. But now, a recognition for his elder. Can you see that? Although it's totally material and worldly, but the recognition is given for his elder. As a result, he became the head of some hospital. Now he's retired, but they want him to come back to that, because they know the excellence. But then, what brought him there? One of the elements was his recognition of his elders, greeting them, meeting them before he can leave. See, he recognized them. So he says, recognize them. I didn't say now. My tahqiq now is, hey, I surpassed all these people there. What they know? They can't even read right. So what they know? He, at that point also, he is just progressing day by day, coming above his teachers and his tutors. So before he can leave, everyone greet him. So now he went to greet and he was busy on a patient. And now he's a little bit worried. The doctor is already a specialist and he's worried. So the tutor is a very advanced. He's also already a specialist. So he sees that his tutor is a little bit worried now, Gabrat state, whatever is it. He says, you know what? There's a kidney problem, we need to work on the kidney. I cut the person and I saw that that kidney is perfectly well. Now, I'm in a Gabrat state now, what happened? So the student said, perhaps, Hazrat, what you must do? Maybe it is the left kidney that is not functioning well. Hey, young man, that's a mistake I made. So he recognized his wrong straight away. See the honesty. The honesty, recognition. Honesty, recognition. I made a mistake. But it doesn't end there. So he examined the other kidney, dysfunctional quality, right? Everything fixed up, patched up. Now the patient is up and about. Now look at the level of honesty. So this surgeon that is doing the operation, he says to the patient, you know, all both Muslim, but now they learn the truth, honest, simple, pure, clean. So they learned all these things here. When they learned it, whatever they were in, then they stood out. Both the tutor and the student, both are standing out, right? I'm not mentioning their names, but both stand out. So operation is finished, up and about. So the surgeon that did the operation, he's telling the patient, you know, I made a mistake on you. I cut the wrong side, stitch up everything. I made a mistake. You got a right to sue me. This is the amount, 50,000, 60,000, you can sue me. And you have all the right. And I request you to sue me. Alright, the patient didn't take it up, said, no, I'm up and about, I'm so well, I'm so nice, I don't need to sue you. But you see the level of honesty. This is what the world is starving for. This was would have been, in a material sense, it would have been a total embarrassment. Such a big surgeon, and such a big failure, such a big flop. You cut the person the wrong end. You didn't even know your student came and corrected you. It could have been such a big disgrace, and such a big embarrassment. But the thing that was overwhelming his mind, the truth, the thing that was overwhelming his student was recognition, appreciation of the elder. He also became such a person heading hospitals, and he also held hospitals. But you see where it comes from, this element of truth. So our ulama had this thing here for a long period in their lives. And I see, you know, this thing really is gone off the life. La iman al iman la. There's very few times that Nabi Sallam had delivered a khutbah and he would not mention this. La iman al iman la amanat la. La iman al iman la amanat la. They were so fruitful at that age. All our ulama, all our ustads, our seniors. If they came 1 minute late to the lesson, they paid ustads, so they came 1 minute, they would record it. I came 1 minute late. Right? He won't look at it now. But I gave 2 minutes more after the class. No, I came 1 minute late recording. At the end of the month, totally I came 1 minute late, 2 minutes late. So if it was more than half the period, then they would deduct 1 day's salary. Right? And if it was less than half, you know, count all the minutes, so you need to count right how many hours you have to teach, say 4 hours. So it was less than half the day, right? Then they cut off half the salary. But you see the level of truth. It's really, really something for us to understand, to think about. Right? That is why this verse, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ مَا غَنِمْتُمْ. What? مَا غَنِمْتُمْ. All what you have accumulated as spoil. Everything. What? The small or the big. Everything. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ مَا غَنِمْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ. This is amanat. And how is it going to be distributed? One khums, one first you take out, then it's for the ghanimin. You know, someone came, after everything has been distributed, and he's had some string or something, something very, very insignificant, right? Nabi Sahib refused to take it. He said, how am I going to distribute this? This was the right of all the Ghanimiyan, all the soldiers, right? And this thing here, one handful of whatever you've got, how am I to distribute this amongst all of them? How am I going to do it? So you're going to take this thing on the rear camp, you sort yourself out. So on the one side he's Rahmatul Lil Alameen. But when it came to a public thing, then how careful he was. That 1 minute, one thing, but how careful. So that was the thing that carried this Deoband. The truth, the honesty, the true values, you know, true values. Our Munshi Sahib Rahmatullahi Inanda, right? So a lot of people's lives changed because of him. His sincerity, his goodness, his qualities. So initially he was teaching in Vellum, then he moved on, right? So whilst he's teaching in Vellum, one parent came complaining that you beat my child up. Right? So he didn't get into any discussion. Straight away, he gave the stick to the parent. He bent down, now whack me. Now who can do this thing here? See, so Allah Pak enabled him that he could be a means of correction for that whole area. Now you're seeing second generation, third generation after him coming up, right? But they all changed. All changed their ways, their values, etc. And you see this aspect, this element of truth, honesty, you know, true values. But how it sparkled up, how it shined out. So these were our elders. They stood for the truth at all times. Murad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he's in Makkah Mukarrama at the residence of his Sheikh, Hadi Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah is asking us, Murad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, that I'm going to a Mawlud. Do you wish to join me? No, Hazrat. When back in India, I stopped them very strongly against this practice. So the word will go out that in India you're stopping it, but when you're with your sheikh and your peer, then you're joining all these things here. So what will happen to the public? Will there be a disarray? Will there be a confusion? Or they'll be going straight? So I'm not going to participate. So Mr. Shavisa is recording this article. Though Mr. Shavisa is very mild in his speech, right? He doesn't talk about vociferous. But he says that Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah thereafter said to Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah that this answer of yours was more pleasing to me than had you said, no, I will accompany Hazrat. Because it shows your stance in the matters of deen is very strong. You can't be moved like a mountain. You can't be moved from this place. So really, I compliment you for this. Now, the Sheikh today and the murid also today would have been totally different. Say, Hazrat, whatever you say, we'll just do it. Right? And that's the murid. And the sheikh will say, hey, what do you think? You're too big for your boots. Clever than me. What do you think? I'm going, you can't come. So the sheikh also is in problem, and the murid also is in problem. So Allah Ta'ala rahmukal. But the stance they took, they remained on the truth. Hazrat Shaykhul Islam Muhammad Madri Rahmatullah, he has to work with multitudes, millions, literally millions of people, because he understands where this whole shift is going to take, this whole partition India-Pakistan, what's going to happen, right? So he understood it, that sight, that vision, and mixed up with that type of people, so he knew what's going on. And then what his vision was, it transpired after that. So now, he has been called, because he's popular, so he's been called for talks here and then. So now he's invited to give a talk in Saharanpur, but under the name of Seerat Kajal Sawat. So the Sheikh of the heard about it. Now look at both of them and they stance on the truth. But the Sheikh is much his junior, right? He doesn't have that popularity at that time like the Sheikh of Islam, right? Hazrat Shaykhul Islam got popularity in the whole India. Everybody respects him. Whole India, Pakistan, everywhere. Wherever he goes, that is. So the Sheikh's letter to him was that they have just altered the name, they're doing the same thing. 12th Rabiul Awal, they're doing the same thing, they just altered the name. When he heard this, straight away, without delaying a second, said that thing is cancelled. No program. Class. If people are playing around with words, see what he's saying? You're playing around with words and doing the same thing. Whether you call it Maulud, call it Sirat Jalsa, but it's just a play of words. What else? The same thing. So I'm cancelling the whole thing. Don't ask me again. Otherwise, they plead, we just want you, whether you come on that date or some other date, but we want your presence, we want your barakat. Even after everything is over, they change the name, etc., they adjusted it, then he went. But you see the stance on the truth. So the junior is correcting the senior, but the senior got no qualms, no hesitation. Why? Because both are looking for the same goal, that we are here to see to that, that the haq is preserved. No reservation and no compromise. Not pali-pali on my friend, my recognition, kya hoga, kya kahenge, no, no. That all, leave it aside. Is the haq preserved or not? Al-Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah's father was known as Hafiz Ahmad. He was a very great alim. And he's also the ustad of the Shah Sahib Rahmatullah. So you can imagine how great he must have been. But he's commonly known as Hafiz Ahmad Sahib. Right? Like my nephew Zubair, he called me Hafiz Sahib. So I joined. Alright. So he's known as Hafiz Ahmad. Though he's a very great Shah Sahib's ustad. So this commotion is taking place in India, Maulud, Sirat, all his Urus, etc. In all that commotion, Hafiz Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah sees Hafiz Hadi Sahib in his dream, right? He sees Hafiz Hadi Sahib in his dream. And Hadi Sahib is telling him, "Aap log bahut tashaddud karte ho. People are being very rigid. Rigid Molanas. Why are you being so hard?" So that's the word. What? "Tum log bahut tashaddud karte ho." Akhir masle mein kuch gunjaish hai. There is some scope in this whole masla, but why are you being so rigid? The dream. Hafiz Ahmad Sahib is saying, "There is no gunjaish nahi. There is no scope at all." Hadi Sahib says for the second time, "There is some scope, but why are you being so rigid?" Again he says, "There is no scope." So Hadi Sahib says, "Agar main Hazrat Rasool Wasam se kehlwa do to phir, if I ask Rasool Wasam to affirm my stance then, se phir koi masla hi nahi rahega, then there is no masla." Just then Rasool Wasam appeared. The whole Wasam, and Nabi Sahib is saying, "Ye jawan jo keh raha hai, wo sahi hai. This youngster, Ahmad, what he's saying is right." So, in that dream, Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah is in the standing position, he bows down 7 times, and he says, "Sahih wa baja, sahih wa baja." So, Ahmad Sahib thereafter asked, "Okay, you know, I heard about the description of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The description is saying something else. And now I'm seeing him in the form of Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah. Why?" So one is what is mentioned in the kitab, and one is in my mind. What is mentioned in the kitab is this, that because you have got faith in him, therefore you saw an abyssum in his form. What was coming in my mind is normally, sometimes something can happen abnormal, right? But for the righteous ulama kiram, they are righteous, they are firm, then as though they are the symbol of the beast, as though they are the symbol. So they're symbolic. So therefore Nabi Sallam will appear in their form. Hafiz Ahmad Sahib recalls his whole dream and he sends it up to Hazrat Hadi Sahib. Hadi Sahib is impressed, keeps it near his heart. He says, "Usko mere kafan ke saath andar dakhil kar dena." But you see, all of these people are standing for what they're standing for. What are they standing for? What they stood for their whole lives? And this whole kafla, Hadi Sahib till now, right? And who's the driver of this caravan? Right? And what branched out as a result of his effort? What was branched out? But you see the stance on the truth. Never waver this side, that side. remained absolutely firm, absolutely clear, so there's no ambiguity whatsoever. In the absence of what will happen? What can happen in the absence of this rigid, firm stance? Right? I'm telling you about several people, right? And they come here, right? So some are mixed married now. You are Tablighi, and he's on the Salami side. You can't say Sunni. You say Sunni, what are you then? He's a Sunni, so why are you? You're Bidati. So why are you giving a wrong title? Don't give a wrong title. Is that right title or wrong title, ask you? Is that playing with the words, or is that a distortion of the word or not? So anyway, what are we talking about? Yeah, people are coming in. So see, we mixed up and married in these families now, and they have this type of functions. So if we don't attend, then the whole family will come out against us. They'll have to go into a divorce, you know. They'll come out so heavily. Whole families, whole, hundreds of people all against us. So we just have to participate. So just in passing, I ask him, but what's wrong if you participate? Just to know what's in his mind. So boy, the whole night they're doing all these things here. For their time, there's Jama'ah ghaib. Everybody's, none of them are present for their namaz. Now that stands from India till now, that people go into bid'at, wrong things, right? Then they must be deprived of the sunnah. Mishkat says the hadith comes very clear. You go into this, right? You go on this, then you must be deprived of the sunnah. And this namaz with jamaat is so important that there's about five statements of the ulama. One statement is that it's a shart sihat, it's a shart precondition for the validity of your namaz. Otherwise, generally they are saying either it's wajib or sunnat al-muakkada. So strongly. So this namaz with jamaat is taken as a casual thing. If you read, don't read, it's alright. But our family tradition is so important. If you miss it out, then you ostracize, you boycott it. See how they're going. Hazrat Qazi Ziauddin Sunami Rahmatullahi. So now, he, if you trace his lineage, Muhammad must do all this. I don't know if you do it. But the guts, take a lot of time. I was talking about dates now, I got it right, alhamdulillah. Hazrat Yahweh. And according to the previous calculation was 70, now the new calculation is 80. Right? So now, Qazi Ziauddin Sunami, look at his whole lineage. His lineage is leading up to the Sheikh of that family. But now you see the stance he took and how Allah allowed the truth to prevail in his. From Nizamuddin Awliya, that's about the 7th century, and the Sheikh is 14th century. 7th century Allah allowed the good to prevail in his family. This Mufti Ilahi Bakshwala, same family, right? So now, this Qazi Ziauddin Sunami, he would stop Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya from all his practices, you know, Sima, etc., etc. It's a long story, but I'm just cutting it right till the end, right? Hazrat mentioned this, and Hazrat is mentioning it from Hazrat Mawthami Sabrahman. He says, when Hazrat had mentioned it, people were in tears. They couldn't contain themselves. So this last part of it, that's very interesting, right? So, Qazi Sahib, Qazi Ziauddin is in his last breath now. And Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya says, well, to make iyadat, to visit the Sikh is a sunnah, then we go and visit him. So, Ziauddin Rahmatullah Alayhi, his stance on the truth is so strong, he says, ye toh mera akhiri waqt hai, is waqt mein bidati ke chehre ko dekhna nahi chahta. This is my ending. And at my end, I don't want to see the face of a bidati. And strangely, Yusuf was reading that Ludhiyanvi Rahmatullah is one article, right? And there he says about a bidati, whoever it was, right? Strong bidat. He says, I don't want to even see the face of a bidati. Whereas he is very popular. Everybody talks about him greatly. But he says, I don't want to even see the face of a bidati. Yeah. So, Qazi Sahib is saying, I don't want to see the face of a bidati. Nizamuddin Awliya is so great, he got thousands of followers there. Very pious, extremely. But because he's involved in Sima, So now look at the response of Nizamuddin Awliya. So the Nizamuddin Awliya says, Ye faqir be'adab nahi. I'm not a person that got no adab and respect. Main bidat se toba karke aaya hu. I made toba for my bidat, then I've come and present myself. When he heard this, he pulled out his turban and says, usko zameen ke upar bichao, unko kaho ke iske upar chal karke aaya. Roll it out for him and let him walk on it, trample on this and come to me. I know his maqam. See, I know his maqam, I know his position. But ask him just to trample on this and come. Comes to Nizamuddin Awliya when he receives it. He says, Ye to dastar-e shariat hai. This is a turban symbolizing the truth and the sunnah, the word of Allah Ta'ala. How can it be trampled? How can it? Takes it and puts it on his head. Now he comes to see Qazi Ziauddin. Qazi Ziauddin says to him, now look at the touching, that last line. Anake, anake, bachashim kimya mikuni. Anake, bachashim kimya mikuni. Anake, abuad, ke gosha e chashim bamakuni. You are so great, you are so great. You are like this. The person that is in total mess up, you know. You can make him a diamond. Just translating for your ears, right? What is it? A total mess. Like going to Jahannam. Filthy, filthy. You've got Allah Pakhi has given you that type of hidayat that you can make that person a diamond. So, at this crucial moment when I'm reaching Allah Ta'ala, can't you just give me one glance of your Mubarak glance? But you see, there's a lot of lessons here. He recognizes the man. So if he parted from the man, it's just because of the bidat. And when he came on line, then he said, he didn't hold any personal grudge. He said, now roll out my turban and let him trample on this thing and come to me. And then see the words that end up this whole thing. So it's just the truth. And I'm showing you that because of the stance of the truth, right, the stance of the truth he took, right, Allah Ta'ala allowed the good to prevail in his khandan for 7 centuries. So that's why I say, by whatever it is, don't be selfish. Think of your children, children's children. And are we holding on to that original Dioban style, or we moved away from that? Are we holding on to that original firm stability that قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْءِ? The truth has become clear from the wrong. Absolutely. Pulls apart. لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Allah also wants separate the issues. Filth on one side and purity on the other side. He doesn't want to mix up the things. So then why are we mixing it up? Pure, clean, honest, right? Undiluted, not watered down, absolutely clean. Right? In fact, sometimes just to save people from confusion, then you won't even start these things. There are some topics that you can start off. But then it leaves people in a state of confusion. So we don't even start these things. And Imam Bukhari, he is the one that initiated this. مَنْ تَرَكَ بَعْدَ الْإِخْتِيَارِ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يَكْسُرَ فِي أَفْهَامُ بَعْدِ النَّاسِ فَيَقَعُ فِي أَشَدَّ مِنْ. Some things are permissible, but conveniently we'll leave it out. Why? Because people can't understand. When you start it off, they go on to a different wrong tangent. Absolutely wrong. So just leave it. Some things are permissible, but we're not going to discuss it. We're not going to make it a topic of discussion. One simple example is, you know, that everybody can relate to. A lot of people don't want to make zina with married women, right? They don't make zina. And they say, you know, this is the hukuk, this is a right of the husband. So to get the mafi there, we have to ask him for mafi. You know, we did this to your wife. So now, it's going to be so embarrassing. I won't get mafi. So, hey, don't touch this. So we know it, that is not the right of the husband. Because it was subjected to the right of the husband. Then if the husband says, all right, you can do it, then it's not subject to him. But these people are in jahalat, and the jahalat is doing good for them, right? So let them remain the jahalat so that they don't go into something far worse. Is it correct time now?